Today on Real Radio.
When a black person is put outside because it's for whites only, or vice versa, or when you walk into a hotel in a foreign country, and because I'm an American, and only why, because of the power of the dollar, I'm allowed into a hotel when maybe a Russian friend has to stand outside the door. That is sick. That's perverse. And yet a culture builds itself up on that.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament letter penned by James. Chapter 2 and verses 5 through 9. Is one of the passages that deals with an issue we struggle with every day, partiality. Because the kingdom of heaven is just that, not of this world, certain elements in God's economy are often the opposite of what we would expect, as pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs demonstrates in this presentation called Partiality and Its Influence.
Got a lot of responses from people asking me, where in the world did I get the idea, the concept that James is the half-brother of Jesus himself? It's found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 55, for one place, and another in Mark's Gospel. This is James, who grew up with none other than God himself in his house. Can you imagine Jesus being born of Mary? Remember the story? You know, you remember, you heard the song, Mary had a little lamb? That's all about Jesus. Can you imagine? The Bible says that Joseph and Mary knew not one another until Jesus was born. And then after that, the Bible tells us there were children born to them. At least there were two sisters. It mentions his sisters in the Greek plural, siblings, and his brothers. And we know them by name given in Scripture. This James is the James that would have grown up with Jesus Christ. Can you imagine mom and dad saying, "Why can't you be more like your brother?" That would have been a wild one. But I wonder how he was. You know, he was so incredibly natural, yet without sin, that the Bible tells us that even after his resurrection, his family did not believe. They came to faith as a result of the resurrection and following. Jesus says a prophet is not without honor. A prophet gets honor everywhere he goes, except in his own house. And every dad feels that every day, don't you? It's funny. Familiarity, the old saying goes, breeds contempt. You can become so common with something that you lose the perspective. I lose perspective. I'm a pastor. I'm in the Word. I'm with people. I live for you. My life is with Him and you. It's like this, and I can lose perspective. You would think the closer that you maybe traffic with people and deal in the things of God, that, you know, the more up and the more exciting and the more you would see, and sometimes it's not true. Warren Wiersbe says in his commentaries and in one of his books that's very encouraging about on being a servant of God, he says, be careful. Those of us who are Christians, be careful that we don't treat the things that God's called us to do as common. It's so easy to do. It's so easy that you and I can begin to treat one another as common. Now, there's nothing special about us. Do you realize that when God looks at us, He sees us as something so special? It's such a gem. All the stuff, all the junk that's going on in our lives, all the difficulties. God is aware of them. He knows your failure. Now, if you're not a Christian this morning, your failure is ever before your face, and it's in between you and your God, whom Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2 says has separated you from Him. He cannot hear your prayers, and He cannot save you from your sin until you turn. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2. But when you do turn and say, "Oh Lord, have mercy on me," your sins are forgiven. Jesus, I believe that you died and you rose again from the dead, And I come to the cross. And Lord, I ask you to apply your blood to my life. You've got to admit that the thought of that is extremely strange. Blood? We live in a culture, we live in an age. We live in a world where blood was once almost a disgusting thing. Do you know how precious now blood has once again become? Blood. Listen, if you get in an accident, God forbid, on the way home, and you need a transfusion, what's your greatest worry? Whose blood am I getting? When you go in for surgery now, what does your doctor tell you to do? Drink what? V8. Drink tomato juice. Drink carrot juice. Build up your blood, and we'll draw blood from you so that after your surgery or during your surgery, we can fill you back with your own blood. Why? Because the risk of contamination is so great. The world is polluted. The Bible says by sin. The Bible says we've been polluted by sin. Our thinking is polluted. Our actions are polluted. When we're religious at best, the Bible says we're polluted. And that's very offensive to the natural mind. It's very offensive to the mind that's trying to work its way into heaven. This week, we were at this outreach at this park, as I was mentioning earlier, there in Russia, and there was a priest that was there, and he was speaking on a microphone about something, about nationalism or something, and they asked us if we could be quiet for a moment. So we did. We were quiet, and they said whatever they said. I asked a Russian, I said, what is he saying? He says, I can't even figure out what the guy's talking about. And then afterwards, the priest went around and he was asking people for money. Now that really got me. He had a black robe, black hat, cross around his neck. And I looked over at Joel and I said, I'd give anything if I would have paid attention through my Russian courses that I bought and paid for to go up and say to that guy what I'd like to say. And let me tell you, there was not much of Christ in what I would like to have said. And he started heading towards our group with his hand out. And I said, okay, that's about it. I knew what I was going to say. And I was going to say to this guy, what God do you serve out here begging like this? This is disgusting. You have the cross around your neck and you're begging. The Bible says, our God shall supply all of our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus, to his glory. Well, that's what I was going to say. That sounds nice. I just quoted a verse, but my heart was not right. And when that guy saw me coming up and he stuck out his hand like that, I looked at him. And the Lord just so hit my heart. I've never heard God speak. You know, those of you who are maybe visiting here for the first time, or maybe you're not a Christian yet, or you don't quite understand, have you ever heard a Christian say, the Lord spoke to me? Have you ever heard that? Raise your hand if you've heard that, all of it. Have you ever heard something? Oh, the Lord spoke to me. I remember when I first heard that. Somebody said, well, you know, the Lord spoke to me. Well, what'd he say? That's scary. I've never heard God speak to me. I know he has said things to me, but not with words. It's almost like he gives you his thought, but you don't hear a thing. It's weird. And I looked at that guy, and I put my finger up like this. And that guy looked up at me. He's a little guy. And he looked up. And Jesus embossed this thought in my heart. I want him for myself. And I was completely ready to eat this guy alive. And Jesus embosses upon my heart, I want him for me. I want him. Oh yeah, Lord, I want him too. Just stand back, Jesus. Hold me back, bro. I'm gonna get him. I'll protect your cross, Lord. Jesus says, Jack, will you shut up and get out of the way? I want this man's soul. I love him. And it was so cool, and I was so grateful. He kept me from sinning, God did. I said, what's your name? He says, Alexia. I said, Alexi, why are you begging? He says, oh, we have to put the dome on our church, and it has to be polished, and it has to be put in place so God can come and dwell in it, and we need this. I said, Alexia, haven't you read your Bible? Jesus says, this is the temple. This is where God wants to live now, Alexia. Where are you, man? Come on, get with it. He wants to live in your heart. Alexi, do you have hope? And he says, I don't have any hope. I said, well, then you must not have any joy. He says, I don't have any joy. So you have any peace? You can't have any peace. He says, I have no peace. He's a priest. He's got all the trappings. He's got all the garb, black, robes, big cross, begging money to build a building so God can live in it so that they might meet God. And I said, Alexia, if you died today, where would you go? Heaven or hell? And he said, can you imagine this? I was shocked. He just said, I would go directly to hell itself. And man, Eli and I just sat there and we pleaded with this man and we gave him the gospel. And I didn't understand his response. He gave me a kiss right on the mouth. It drove me nuts. And we simply wrapped him up and we prayed that he would see and understand that Jesus Christ loves Americans, Russians, Israelis, Australians, Germans. What are you? And James is trying to convey the fact that if we hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with partiality, we are not only blaspheming against God, but we are gross transgressors. Listen to the hint. I'm giving you the end up front so you can deal with it all morning long and get over it. In verses 5 through 9 of James chapter 2, there's a hint of the devilish and demonic powers of separatism and partiality and favoritism that destroys, which leads eventually to, and Satan shows his greatest colors with, something called anti-Semitism, which is growing in the earth at an incredible rate. Did you know hatred for Jews now is rising? Is at a peak now? It's rising again. It's a sign of satanic influence. Read your Bible, understand it. Be careful, watch out. There was a time when the church believed they were helping Hitler for the right cause. Let's read our Bibles. Let's be careful about this thing about partiality. We think it can be so maybe benign and not so dangerous. No, when a black person is put outside because it's for whites only, or vice versa, or when you walk into a hotel in a foreign country, and because I'm an American, and only why? Because of the power of the dollar, I'm allowed into a hotel when maybe a Russian friend has to stand outside the door. That is sick. That's perverse. And yet a culture builds itself up on that. We're a 5-star hotel. With just my face, the thought is implied, he has money, he's from the West, let him in. But this one, he's from Russia, he stays out. You say, well, you know, maybe that's a business deal. Listen, it's in the human heart, and it's wrong. And James is going to talk to us about it. And it's terrible. He says in James chapter 2, verse 5, he says, listen, my beloved brethren. And the word listen in the Greek implies that we're not listening. It's something that we're not normally doing. So he says, listen, My beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into courts? Do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you are called? If you are to really fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as a transgressor. Very important thing, and we'll look at several points regarding partiality and its influences. It's something that we have to fight against as a people. We have to be careful because it's something that's somehow strokes the flesh, and if we can somehow get into that group that's exalted, then all is well. And maybe none of us suffer from that. But have you ever seen it? Maybe some of you have. It's very alarming. It leads to a spiritual issue. And that is the fallen nature of man. The Bible tells us that we are justified today, you and I, if we've put our faith in Jesus Christ. If we've put our faith in Jesus Christ this morning, you and I are justified in the sight of God. Completely saved. If we've put our faith. This man asked me, he said, I want to believe in God. This thing about faith, it seems too easy. He says, I can look past all these things. I can look past this tree. I can look past the clouds. I understand that God must exist, but doesn't he demand more from me than just belief? And I told that Russian man, I said, you are so wise in your question. You are so bright. And I went over and I grabbed this little stool that was being used for the congas or bongos or whatever you called them. And I sat down on it. And I said, this is what the word means. I said, to sit down. And I said, that word trust and have faith in Christ is not to just talk about it. It's to sit down on Christ, to put your weight down and know he's going to hold you up. That's Jesus. And he said, got it. Thank you. And we prayed. A child understands that. This little child, there's a child in between services, and the Sunday school teacher had a hold of this little baby. She says, you know, as long as I'm holding this baby, he is fine. But the problem is, he is a giant, this kid. And I am so tired of holding him, but he's happy as a clam if I'm just holding him. And I'm tired, and I'm jet-lagged right now. And I thought, you know what? I'd like to have somebody hold me like that right about now. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great to be them? Of course, somebody have to be like 25 feet tall to hold us like that. You know, in relation to scale and ratio, you know. Rest. Sitting down, putting faith, justified. 1 Peter 1:18 says, knowing that we were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. Praise God for that. From your aimless conduct received by the traditions of your fathers. He was speaking to religious people. He's not talking to some drunk, drug addict, prostitute, brawling bum. He was talking to very religious people. He's redeemed us from the traditions of our fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ he has redeemed us as a lamb without blemish and without spot. We're justified. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, the Bible says, For by what? Grace. You have been what? Saved. Through faith. That is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We're walking down Nevsky Prospect. That's the Champs-Élysées of St. Petersburg there, the main avenue. And we were heading off to the bank. We were going to pay the bill for the hotel and all that stuff. And so Dima and I were walking along, and these two precious, they're obviously from Utah, Idaho region, two precious LDS missionaries go walking by. And I said, demon, did you see those guys? Let's pray for their confusion. That's how I always do that. Lord, I pray that you confuse them and bring them to faith in you. And he says, where? I said, white shirt, black tie, dark pants, badge. Didn't you see it? He said, no, I didn't see it. And I said, you know, we're going to do a U-turn. And we did a U-turn and we followed them. And got up to them and I said, excuse me. And they turned and I said, do you have a Bible? And one said, Russian or English? And the other one said, no, we don't have a Bible. So they had a little thing between them, two of them right then. And so Demas says, well, I have a Bible. So he pulled one out of the back of his pocket there. And this precious Mormon missionary says, I don't want a Bible bash. And I said, you know what? We're on our way to do business somewhere, and I have to go to the bathroom very badly. We don't have the time. I just want to ask you a question. Can you read to me Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9? And he said, in Russian or in English? I said, both. I'm an American. He's a Russian. So both of you guys read it. And they read. He read. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that is not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not of works. Lest anyone should. And Dima couldn't take it anymore. And he said, boast! Boast! It's boast! You see, it's free. Those precious guys, they're trying to work their way in. I love them. And they looked, they read that verse, they looked. And the younger one looked at the one that read it. And I put my hand on the guy's shoulder and I said, have a very nice day. And I walked away. Listen, my friend, this morning you and I are either in such grotesque poverty and unable to save ourselves, and we are in fact poor. Or we have somehow so become deceived that somehow we have become righteous in and of ourselves, that somehow maybe being born under the red, white, and blue, we have some kind of status in heaven. Hey, I was in Paris. Red, white, and blue. World Cup. They were wild. They probably think God is French. Don't Americans think God's American? I've heard people say in the streets, of course I'm going to go to heaven. I was born in America. That is great. Used to be where people would say, of course I believe in God. I'm a Republican. James says, listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen, selected? The word is to pick out and to draw alongside too, to get near. Who? The poor who are rich in faith.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a study of a portion of James chapter 2 called Partiality and Its Influence. It's part of Pastor Jack's series through this New Testament letter, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Remember, you can always go online, and with a point and a click, you can listen to past broadcasts of Real Radio. We keep quite a collection of Real Radio editions from days gone by, and we put them there for your listening convenience and edification. Just visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and click on the tab Broadcast. Our phone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.